The Napoleonic era, Napoleon in exile, 1815-1821. Daily routine, part 4, evening. Now, during Napoleon's 6-year exile, the dinner hour was changed more than once. It started at 7 p.m., it went to 8 p.m., and then ultimately till 10 p.m. But protocol was always observed. At the appointed time, the dining room door was opened, and Cipriani, dressed in a green coat with silver embroidery and black silk breeches and buckled shoes, would bow deeply and announce, "Your Majesty's dinner is served." Napoleon then went into the dining room, followed by the ladies and the officers. Napoleon's place was in the middle of the table, with his back to the fireplace. Madame de Montholon sat on his right, and Las Casas sat on his left. Gorgaud, Montholon, and young Las Casas sat opposite. When the Bertrands were present, the Grand Marshal's wife took precedence over Madame Montholon, which periodically caused some friction, let's say. In the early part of the exile, some English were also invited and were astonished by the style up at what they called the house. Colonel Bingham told his wife, quote, "It was a most superb dinner, which lasted 40 minutes. At the end, we all retired to the drawing room to play cards." 40 minutes doesn't seem like a lot of time, but Napoleon was actually, most of his life, ate very, very, very quickly. So getting him to stay put for 40 minutes is a pretty good deal. It was an odd situation. The people who lived with Napoleon barely spoke above a whisper. Napoleon was usually so engaged in eating that he hardly said a word to anyone. Plus, the room was so full of candles, it was hot as an oven. Now, there was an abundance of silver in the room. It was on the table. You have candlesticks, you have dishes, dish covers, and the centerpieces, all gleaming, polished silver. Marchand had brought a very large amount of silver. Even after 120 pounds of it had been sold, there still remained 234 plates, 96 dish covers, and 34 dishes, along with other accessories. Saint Denis and Novarez waited on Napoleon. They stood behind his chair, in nice wearing green coats with gold embroidery. The other guests were served by Gentili and some British sailors that were dressed in imperial uniform, and Bernard, the Bertrand's valet, whenever the Bertrands showed up. Now, dinner fare was much more abundant than lunch. You'd have a soup, you'd have a salad or a cold plate. There would be two entrees, usually a roast, two vegetables, or a chicken added in there, followed by sweetmeats, and then followed by dessert. The dessert was eaten with silver forks on Savar plates, with a gold and green border that was patterned with swords and laurels around scenes from the battlefields of Europe and Egypt. The curtains were drawn shut to cut off the view of the bare garden, but there was a certain splendor to the modest room, with the gleaming silver, the women in their evening dresses, and the officers in their uniforms, all surrounding Napoleon. After dessert, everybody went into the drawing room, where coffee was served, again, on another special service of Savar cups and saucers. Each cup had a view of Egypt, and the saucers had some Arab leader or other distinguished character. Now, in France, those cups and saucers would have cost at least 25 guineas. Now, that would be 1 English pound and 1 shilling each from that time period. And that would be a minimum price because they were all designed by their expert, Denon. They were all decorated in gold along with Savard's blue. And the portraits were grisaille. Now, grisaille is a method of painting with gray monochrome. And what it does, it imitates sculpture. It looks like it has a 3D effect. The evening seemed very long, but usually they would play cards, either reversus, which is a trick-taking game, basically using the hearts group, and it's believed to be the ancestor to the game that we play today called hearts. It originated in Italy, went to Spain, and then to France. They also played piquet. Piquet is another trick-taking game, but it's for 2 people. You use a 32-card deck using all the numbers from 7 up to ace. Then, or, you know, if they did that, maybe they would do something else, but sometimes Madame de Montholon would sing while playing the piano. The evenings most dreaded by the French were when Napoleon sent for a book and read out loud. He liked Corneille. He liked Voltaire. He read from the Bible. He read from Ossian. He read from Homer, Manon Lecomte, and Paulette Vigier. So that was, you know, one thing. He was not a good reading out loud person. He had no real cadence to it. Also, Napoleon's memory was full of endless material for discussion. He could talk all night about Santo Domingo, Robespierre, generals, soldiers, courtesans, whatever. But somewhere between 11 p.m. and midnight, Napoleon allowed everyone to leave, and then when he would retire to his bedroom. Marchand would help him undress and get him into bed. Frequently, Las Casas or Montholon or Gergaud would then read to him. When he was finally asleep, Marchand would blow out the candles. He would light a night light and then try to go to bed himself in the attic. But unfortunately, the night bell rang often because Napoleon suffered from insomnia. He was never a long sleeper to begin with. But when he was on campaign and when he was emperor and he was busy, he was exhausted by the end of the day and would just collapse and go to sleep. Well, now his body is no longer exhausted by work and he couldn't get much sleep. So he would get up, summons his valet, talk, read, walk up and down in his two rooms, and usually remained awake until the small hours of the morning before he finally went to sleep. So we finished the daily routine. The next thing we're going to be looking at is the money. How the money works on St. Helena. Who's paying for what? And what are the costs? And of course, this is one of the big battles between Napoleon and the new governor, Sir Hudson Lowe. Now the sources for this, Napoleon St. Helena by Martineau, Memoirs of St. Helena by Las Casas, Cashiers de St. Helena by General Bertrand, St. Helena's Who's Who by Dr. Chaplin, and the Journal of St. Helena by General Gourgaud. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us with a donation, and thank you very much.